It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, sponsored by Trenton Interiors. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on ESPN 97.7 is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as hotline sponsor Fairway Cards. Now here's your host for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Jonathan Ford.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones joining me like he is all year here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston. Go check those guys out. 111 North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston for all your interior decorating needs. Tile, countertops, appliances, they got it all. Go check those folks out. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, 888-993-7762, or send us a text at the same number, 888-993-7762, the Fairway Carts of Minden text line. Jason Tech coming off a dominating performance against Rice Friday night in front of 5,000 people.
2 weeks in a row, dominating performance. Rainy weather, not great crowd, but the players got out there and got it done.
They took care of business. It's kind of insane how much better, and it's to be expected because of how good Kenneth Dixon is, but it's crazy how much better Tech is with him on the roster.
Oh, yeah, because you've got the threat of a rushing attack that everybody's keying on him, and so it just makes the passing game that much better. But even with everybody keying on him, you know, he's still going to get his yards. You know, they might bottle him up in the first quarter a little bit because everybody's paying attention, but he's going to wear him down, and then he'll start catching the ball in the backfield. And, you know, it's just over after that, and Driscoll's just tearing people apart. I mean, Trent Taylor is playing great. Carlos Henderson's healthy. There's so many weapons.
Jeff Driscoll, 17 for 26, 320 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Kenneth Dixon, 19 carries for 92 yards, an average of 4.8 yards a carry. We'll start there. Tech lined up in the I formation. How many years has it been since Tech lined up in a traditional I formation?
I've never seen it.
And you've been paying attention to Tech football since what year?
Yeah, 96, 20 years. So, I mean, it was before. But, I showed up at the Croton era, so.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen with Croton.
Yeah, I mean, maybe with Joe Raymond, I don't know.
So how far has his offensive line come that Skip Holtz is his name. Skip Holtz feels comfortable enough with them to line up in the eye behind them and say, go block the guys in front of you, and they're going to know what's coming, and we're still going to do it to the tune of 4.1 yards a carry.
Awesome. Love it.
That's impressive that Tech's offensive line has come that far, and it's not you can't call it piecemeal anymore, but it was early in the season.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of had their guys that they thought were going to be there, and Wixon was going to be the center, and, you know, either Mahaffey or Brunson were going to be the guard, left guard. Robinson was going to be the right guard. You had two veteran tackles, and then everybody had to get shifted around because of injuries. And so they have kind of had to piece it together. O'Shea Dugas has had to play pretty much all year as a true freshman.
And he gets better and better every week.
Yeah, and it's really worked out.
You look at the receiving totals. You mentioned Trent Taylor went off 5 catches, 142 yards, over 28 yards a catch, 2 touchdowns along a 63. Why, oh why, Rice Owls, did you try to stop Trent Taylor with one-on-one coverage and no safety over the top?
They were so worried about Dixon, and that's been the case all year. Everybody's worried about Dixon. And he's still 19 carries for 92 yards and 1 catch for 16.
I've been saying it all year that it's kind of picking your poison, but why haven't teams just lined up in their base formations, their base defense, and said, let's just do us and see what happens? Because Lord knows that people have keyed on Dixon and it hasn't worked.
Yeah, maybe they ought to start doubling Trent Taylor. You know, I mean.
And people do that in the red zone. You'll see that. Yeah. When they get in the red zone, Trent Taylor's double-teamed.
Yeah, we saw Mississippi State do it a couple weeks ago.
And that's smart.
Yeah, it's very smart. The only problem is if you're still keying on the run and trying to double him, you know, Turner and Henderson are open on the outside, and they've shown they can make the big play. So you're giving the big play up if you do that. But, hey, I would take that risk.
Carlos Henderson, your deep threat. 6 catches, 115 yards, 19.2 yards a catch, 2 touchdowns, and a long of only 26 with your – what most people would say is Tech's possession guy, Trent Taylor, with the long of 63. Having Carlos Henderson show that he can do more than just stretch the field, I think, is enormous for Tech's pass offense.
Yeah, and he had the 1 kick return for 57 yards, just, again, showing his explosiveness. And it is. It's a huge added advantage to the offense when he's on the field.
Now, I don't think he'll be on the field this week. He got rocked.
Yeah, and he's been off and on. I mean, he plays hard, and he's going so fast that he's going to get hurt.
I honestly think overall game-wise – it's hard to think that Carlos Henderson's had a better complete game than last Friday night.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Since he's been at Tech.
If you're going to have some injuries, this is probably the week to have them. You've got the 1-7 North Texas Mean Green coming to town, and then you've got a bye week. So it'd be really good to give these guys a break. We know that Henderson's banged up. Nick Thomason's banged up. Don't expect to see either one of them.
And a little update on Thomason, as you mentioned, it looks like it is a sprain and not a tear, which anybody that watched that play.
How in the world, yeah.
How in the world, he must be Mr. Rubber Band Man, that he doesn't have a torn ACL or PCL or MCL or all three.
Yeah, even if he had to play, I don't know which ligament it was, but that's sprained. But even if he had to play, I think
– Even if I did know, I don't think it would mean anything to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a clue. So, I mean, I feel like if he could play – if he had to play Saturday, you know, who knows? He might be out there. If it was Southern Miss, if it was a huge game, he might be out there. But luckily, there's an off week coming up. We've got time. Brandon German's been playing well. Russell Ferris has been playing well. You've got a couple of guys that can fill the void.
Lloyd Grogan's supposed to be back.
Yeah, so you're getting some depth back. Rest him. Rest Henderson. You know, take that off week. Get everybody healthy for UTEP and Southern Miss.
Were you surprised by Skip Holt's comment praising C.J. Cleveland?
No, I mean, he's going to praise everybody. I mean, he's
– that's the kind of coach he is.
Yeah, he's positive reinforcement and, you know –
And
that's his linebacker. He's riding with him.
To defend what Coach did said, defending C.J. Cleveland's play, there's a lot of Tech fans that think that C.J. Cleveland gives up a lot of yards, and he probably does. But he's always, quote-unquote, and this is me, close to being there. Whereas sometimes Lloyd Grogan's not on the right guy. Where at least whenever you've got C.J. Cleveland out there, he's on the right guy. He might be 3 steps behind him, but he's there.
Yeah, and we've seen other safety/linebacker hybrids the last couple of weeks in the Middle Tennessee game. One of the younger guys was out there and totally whiffed on a play probably 5 yards away from the ball carrier and gave up a big play. I mean, it happens to everybody, but this is a guy that's a linebacker that's being asked to play a lot of coverage, and that's not his strong point. His strong point is tackling. And
he was a safety at Arkansas Tech, right?
Yeah, I believe so. But, you know, at Tech,
it's a different level.
Yeah, at Tech, he's a linebacker, and I don't think he's going to be as comfortable back there covering as maybe a Grogan or somebody else. But he's made plays before. You remember the Lafayette game last year? He got tossed into the starting lineup and led the team with like 13 tackles or something. He can make the tackles. He can make the plays really good against the run.
He's a very cerebral player.
Yeah, so, you know. Coach isn't going to throw him under the bus. That wouldn't do anybody any good.
Tech didn't get any interceptions Saturday or Friday. Sorry, Carlos Henderson, 1 of 2 kick returns on the day because of how bad Rice was offensively.
Yeah, you don't need turnovers when you can just line up and push the other team around that bad.
And Rice finished the day, of course, only 17 points, and 10 of that came in the second half when Tech's was up 28-7 at halftime. Dreyfus Jackson finished it right at 50%, 180 yards, 6.4 yards, a reception, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions.
But man, did Rice's receivers have some opportunities.
Yeah, they did. And just like Middle Tennessee, I think. I mean, Tech's playing aggressive on defense. They're going to give the other team a chance to beat them with that big play and just kind of dare them to. And hey, so far they play with fire and they hadn't got burned yet. So at least, you know, in the last couple of weeks, it's worked.
And once again, Tech was great against the run. 33 total rushes for 101 yards, 3.1 yards a carry. You take away the 11 rushes for a 31, or really there were more than that, from Dreyfus Jackson on that one drive where he was scrambled a lot because Tech had everybody locked up downfield. I wondered if Saturday Tech will play North Texas, who does have a very athletic quarterback. Is it time to see a spy?
It might be. Their running back's playing really well this year. He had like 3 carries for 18 yards against Tech last year, and he's kind of the backup guy. He got 3 or 4 carries every game until UTSA, the last game of the year last year. He went for like over 100 yards, and of course he must just love playing against UTSA. He had a huge game last week, and they won the game. But those two guys are the ones to pay attention to. They are not going to throw the ball. That quarterback is under 50%, I believe, the last two games, and like 4 yards a pass attempt or something.
We'll talk more about
there's not much of a threat.
No, we'll talk about more of North Texas at about 6:30 with Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle. As Sean Fox said in the previous show, the only guy to talk North Texas with. Good luck finding somebody else.
Yeah.
He's
the man.
There's no scout site. There's no rival site.
Yeah, and I think we've had like 400 people scroll through there with the Underdog Dynasty site. There's a couple of new guys, so maybe one of them will work out. We'll see. But
don't hold your breath.
Yeah, but looking back over the last season, I mean, just look how bad Tech has dominated this conference. You know, North Texas last year, 42-21 on the road. UTEP, 55-3. UTSA, yeah, 27-20. They scored late. Southern Miss on the road, 31-20. We remember Western Kentucky, 59-10. UAB, 40-24. Rice was 76-31. So you had one loss on the road in overtime, Old Dominion, by 3 points. You lose to Marshall by 3 in the conference championship game on the road again. Start out this year on the road, West Kentucky lose by 3. So you've got 3 different 3-point losses to good teams on the road. Then you come back here, you know, beat FIU by 10 at home, go on the road, beat UTSA, and then dominate 2 of the top tier. I mean, there's, you know, if there's 13 teams, these are in the upper half. Rice and Middle Tennessee dominate them, 45-16 and 42-17. I mean, Tech has had a huge run the last couple of years through Conference USA, and what's the streak? They've won like 8 in a row at home now. I mean, just really dominant, and I don't expect North Texas to even be that, you know, that close.
Well, let's talk a little Conference USA football in the second segment. It's a little change from the outline, and I'm going to do what they call a tease in the industry. Is Southern Miss as good as their record indicates? I've said that, I've talked about this before. You disagree with me, but we'll talk about that after the break. This segment brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents. We'll be back right now. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in the historic Rogers Furniture Building. Go give those guys a call, 318-255-7698. Before we get into Conference USA talk, I forgot about this clip from yesterday's press conference. I asked Skip Holtz about Jeff Driscoll's performances at Tech and his redemption story, and I just let it play, and it's amazing at how passionately Skip Holtz speaks about his quarterback.
Yeah, before the season started, I'm sure you got some phone calls from around the country from some coaches about Jeff Driscoll. Has he lived up to what you thought he could be?
Yes, and even more. And I don't know that I really put stipulations on, I think he can be this. I knew Jeff was highly recruited. I knew Jeff was very talented. I never went back. I have never watched a Florida film. I don't know what they were teaching him. I don't know what the goods and bads and pros and cons were there. I knew he was coming in. He had all the measurables. He had height, weight, speed, athleticism, throw the ball, hit the target, put it in the barrel, whatever it was. I mean, that he was very talented. What I didn't know and what I said I was really excited to see was how was he going to process? How was his decision making? How was his ability to read defenses? How was his ability to lead? Is this a team that's going to get behind him and follow him? Is he going to come in and be arrogant and turn everybody off? Or is he going to come in and be very humble and have this team embrace him? And those are questions that you can't answer until he gets here. So I think probably more than saying I've been impressed or not impressed or living up to or not, I would just say that I have been, I think he has done an unbelievable job of coming in here, and I have been very impressed with what he's been able to do. I haven't really found his weakness yet. I don't know what his problem was other places that he's been, but I know he has all the measurables. I think what he has done as a leader here is one of the more impressive things that I have seen. For a young man to come in here in March, and in August the team votes him one of the captains, and the way that they follow him, the vocal leader that he is, when he talks, everybody listens. He's very positive. He's very humble. I've been impressed with the way he's read defenses. I've been impressed with the way he's protected the ball with his decision-making ability. Probably have been as impressed with his poise in the pocket and his calmness when he comes off the field after a series. I mean, he just took three shots standing in the pocket, and he comes off. And I said, okay, on the one, what did you see? We talked about the one that he read for his first touchdown in this game. I said, all right, what'd you see? He said, I came back. The safety was way on the backside. I was going to take the shot down the middle, and then I saw him out of the corner of my eye coming in. So it's like you're in a film room. He's just talking as plain as he can be, and I can't tell you how impressed I've been with the tools that he has, the way he handles himself, and the professional that he has been since he has been here, and coming in here and learning a game plan and taking it and making the most of it. I have really been impressed with what Jeff has brought.
And what did coaches around the country tell you whenever it came out that he was coming here?
Steve Adazio from Boston College said, Skip, you may not only have the best quarterback in college football for next year, you may have one of the best football players in college football next year. He said, he had him when he was at Florida, very impressed. Brian White was there, rant and raved about him. I said, oh my gosh, I mean, you will absolutely love him. He will do great things there. Because I was trying to follow. What's wrong? You know, what am I missing? I mean, what's damaged? But everybody just rant and raved, and anybody that has worked with him had nothing but incredibly positive things to say. And as much as we talk about his skill set and the way he's handled himself, as a person, he's better than that. I mean, as a person, just as a young man, a character, the way that he's bought into this team, the way he handles himself, he's really impressive.
Given that about his character, that he took a lot of criticism from the fans and from everybody at Florida, how much does that speak to his character, that here he is having a lot of success and he hasn't gone to the highest mountain and say, see, look, I've still got it?
You know, he is, even when he came here, he never said a negative word about Florida. When I talked to him about it, he said, Coach, it's time for a change. It's time for a change. I'm very grateful to Florida for the opportunity they gave me, my experiences here. There's great people at Florida. I enjoyed my stay here. It's just time for a change. And believe me, as somebody that's been in a very toxic situation, I understand sometimes when it gets that way, how it's hard. It gets in that downward spiral and you can't stop it. And the social wave goes against you, and it's a very hard wave to change. And like he said, I just need a change. And like I said, I know the feeling. I've been there. I've experienced that. I understand it. It doesn't make him a bad person or a bad quarterback or anything else because of some of the heat that he took from Florida. But he has never, to this day, ever said anything but positive things and the love that he has for that program at the University of Florida. And he would be the last person to ever say, ha, see, I can, you know what I mean? He's not one that he's not trying to prove everybody else right or wrong. He's answering to himself, and I think he's very comfortable who he is, as he should be, because I'm really impressed with who he is and what he's become.
Kind of had we talked a little bit about the redemption stuff with you and Manny last year. Maybe Louisiana Tech's become a bit of a redemption city.
We're the land of misfit toys, you know. We're the land of misfit toys, and there's one man's trash is another man's treasure, you know. And right now, we are a group of people that still believe in ourselves, that came in here and believe in this school, and work hard every day just to do what we're trying to get done. And I, like I said, I was really impressed with Manny and the job he did. And I think in our athletic society today, we are quick to jump onto a social bandwagon and throw somebody under the bus in a hurry. And I look at a guy like Jeff Driscoll and to think that he was contemplating not playing college football anymore, that he was contemplating, now that I have my degree, just going out into the real world and not playing. And what a shame for a young man with that character, with those values and that skill set, to have that feeling. And that's not what this game is all about, the opportunity for young men to have an opportunity to experience it. And so if we became his second home or second opportunity, he has certainly made the most of it. I'm glad he's here. He has obviously helped himself, and he has. And I think as every, the expectations sometimes are very hard to overcome. And when you come in as the number one rated quarterback, I think people expect, I think it was his first or second year, he goes 11-2. It's like, oh, wow, we built on that. Now we're going to be undefeated. And things didn't go that way. And people have to blame somebody. And he took a big brunt of that, and I thought he shouldered it incredibly strong for a 19 to 20 year old young man. For some of the criticism that he received, he came here and he has worked hard and said, I'm going to be as good as I can be, and I'm not worried what everybody on the outside world thinks. And I think right now, I don't know where his draft status was a year ago, because I didn't look at all that, but I listened to the pro scouts that come through here now. I definitely think he's going to have his opportunity to get into camp and show what he can do in a professional environment.
Wow.
Land of misfit toys.
Another man's trash is another man's treasure.
But, he's right. I mean, you look at Skip Holtz himself, Jeff Driscoll. Houston Bates did well.
Cody Sokol.
Yeah. Bates did well at Illinois. He just was looking to get closer to home. But
Paul Turner a little bit.
Yeah, and Tech's proven, over the years. They can bring transfers in and plug them in, and, hey, it works. And coaching goes the same way. I mean, South Florida gave up on Skip Holtz a little bit too early, and they're paying the price for that.
Or are they? Or is it just that toxic of a situation, to use his words?
Yeah, and, maybe nobody was going to have success there. But, hey, it works here, and, Tech fans should be happy, because the Bulldogs are rolling the last couple of years, really, and we've seen some pretty dominant performances.
But when players hear Skip Holtz speak like that about his players, he's what people call a player's coach, and people want to play for player's coaches.
Yeah, they sure don't want to be dog cussed every day. I mean, who wants to play for that,
So, I figured you guys would enjoy that. It's a good listen. We've got it on the Bleed Tech Blue Twitter. Sorry, all three of those, actually, and YouTube. Go check it out. Share it on social media. That'd be great. Everybody needs to hear that clip. Going into Conference USA football a little bit here. Tech, of course, is sitting on top of the Western Division.
You've got a chance for a Conference USA semifinal that weekend after Thanksgiving. Tech's playing Southern Miss. Western Kentucky and Marshall are playing each other. More than likely, the two winners will be playing for the championship. And Southern Miss, they were winless a couple years ago, or one win 2 years ago, and winless 3 years ago, something like that. They're pretty bad. Last year they improved a little bit and actually had Tech beat 7-3 at halftime down in Hattiesburg. Tech ended up winning by 11, but they went and added a whole lot of JUCOs this year, and they've improved their 3-4-5. They're 6-3 just like Tech, but some of the teams they've beaten, when you look at their Massey ratings, they've beaten the number 450 team, 133, 191, 149, 217, and 179.
So that's the, you've remembered my point while I did not. That's what I wanted to talk about in this segment. So thank you for being a good co-host. You said it. I mean, they played Mississippi State and lost at home 34-16. They played Austin Peay, beat them 52-6, who has not a single win on the year.
They're 0-9.
Texas State, they beat them 56-50 in San Marcos. They're 2-5 on the year. They lost to Nebraska, gave them a heck of a game, 36-28. They're 3-5 on the year. North Texas, 49-14. They were winless at the time. Marshall, they lose 31-10 on the road. And Marshall really hasn't played that tough of a schedule.
No, not at all. Southern Miss, you know, has won three in a row. They beat San Antonio, but they were at home.
And how bad is UTSA away from the Alamo Dome?
Yeah, they go to Charlotte and win 44-10, but Charlotte's a kind of an expansion team. They're 2-6.
They beat Presbyterian and Georgia State this year.
And then they beat UTEP at home last week, 34-13. So
that's my question. Are they for real?
You know, we'll see. I think they get an off week this week. Next week they go to Rice. You know, Rice has proven last week they're not that great of a team. They're 4-4, but they're better than most of these teams that Southern Miss has beaten. And we'll see. You know, they're kind of that middle of the road team that Southern Miss has not played yet. They played all good teams and all bad teams, and you know, no in between. Massey gives them a 58% chance to win on the road at Rice, 33-30. If they go in there and just totally smoke Rice, then I think they're for real. If they go and lose the game or play in a close game, I'm not going to be so worried about them. Tech had more athleticism than Rice. They were able to line up and overpower them. Can Southern Miss do that, or is Southern Miss going to have to sling it around, throw for 400 yards, and beat them by six like they did in Texas State? You know, that'd be my question.
I wouldn't have thought that Rice would be the telltale, but it probably is. And then, of course, after Rice, they play Old Dominion, and then they come to Tech. How did Southern Miss get this schedule?
Yeah, they got to go to Marshall, just like Tech had to go to Western Kentucky. That was the tough part, but they get at Charlotte, and they get Old Dominion at home for their other Eastern Division games, where Tech's, you know, hosting FIU and Middle Tennessee, probably the third and fourth best teams in that division.
You get North Texas at home and UTSA at home.
Yeah, and UTEP at home. I mean, unbelievable. So, very easy schedule. It's the perfect schedule for Todd Monken, who needed a good year to save his job, and he got it. But you're right. I mean, are they for real? Will they really give Tech a challenge now? They played Tech well last year. They're going to be gunning for Tech. Tech has never beaten Southern Miss 3 years in a row. In the history of the two programs, never has beaten them three in a row. So,
and Tech had never won in Rice Stadium.
And how many times has Tech had a chance to play for something like, you know, the Orange Bowl a few years ago?
Utah State at home.
And then they come home and they lose a big game. So a lot will be riding on this game. Tech has to take care of business and win this one. But first, you still got North Texas and UTEP to worry about. So are we getting a little ahead of ourselves? Yeah, I'm sure we are, but it's still fun to talk about.
And that's what we can do on the radio.
Exactly.
We're not playing the games. This segment brought to you by Brister Smokehouse in Ruston. We'll be back right after this talking to Brett Vito from the Denton Records Chronicle about Saturday's homecoming matchup against North Texas. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. Brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston, 111 North Trenton Street in downtown Ruston, 255-7698. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline with Brett Vito of the Denton Record Chronicle. It's a mouthful. How's it going, Brett?
Hey, in there, guys. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. Seems like a little bit of a different team for North Texas since the coaching change. What's been the spark other than the coaching change?
Well, I think that had a lot to do with it. You know, it's the same It's the same batch of guys, essentially. But, you know, Mike Canales has twice now has done a really good job of energizing North Texas's program as its interim coach. Now, I say that it is largely the same team. The one move that he did make that I think made a dramatic difference was he elevated DeMarcus Smith to starting quarterback. I think that had a lot to do with the improvement North Texas has made. I also think just the energy that Canales brings makes a huge difference for this team. He's one of those excitable, enthusiastic guys, and just maybe having a different voice really helped North Texas to, you know, kind of regroup.
And defensively, what have they done the last couple? I mean, the last 2 weeks, they've gotten things going a little bit better. What have they done defensively and offensively that has kind of sparked the surge?
You know, that's a really good question defensively, and it's one that I asked, you know, because you're looking at pretty much the same guys in the same scheme with the same defensive coaches. You had to change the head coach, but, you know, you really didn't have any big switches defensively. And what Mike Canales credited it to was largely North Texas's players getting a little bit more comfortable with new defensive coordinator Chris Kosh. He's been all over the country, worked for all kinds of different programs and had some success a lot of different places, you know, Power Five programs like, you know, Michigan State and, you know, other places like that. You know, so they feel like they're getting more comfortable in the system and making a few more plays, and they have a few junior college guys that are, you know, that they plugged in, including some late arriving JUCO guys that didn't arrive until August. And I think just as they get more comfortable with what they're doing, and some of these guys make a better adjustment playing at the college level, that's helped. And offensively, I think it's really just the fact that Canales went with DeMarcus Smith, who's a dynamic athlete who really runs the ball well, and then they really turn to probably maybe their best player on the team is a sophomore running back, Jeffrey Wilson, who was injured at the beginning of the year, but, you know, has kind of gotten back in form, and now they give him the ball every chance that they've got, and I think that's really helped them offensively.
Well, when you look at this game Saturday in Ruston, and I guess it pits a team that runs the ball decently well against a team that stops the run really well. Is that the deciding point for North Texas to have success?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, North Texas is a massive underdog. I mean, you're talking like 30 points in this game. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the key point. I mean, if North Texas can't run the ball, I think, you know, and get it going like that, they're going to be in a world of hurt, because DeMarcus Smith, he's, you know, trying to improve, but he's only completing about 45% of his passes. North Texas is going to have to run the ball to be effective.
Well, and Brett, to that point, so Russian offense, North Texas is 62nd in the country, 176 yards a game, and that's all powered by Jeffrey Wilson. I mean, this guy is having a monster year in the last two games especially. 17 carries for 138 yards, 8.1 yards per carry, and then another 127 yards against UTSA in the win. I mean, this is a kid that had offers from other, you know, middle tier schools like ULM, Texas State kind of schools right there in the heart of Central East Texas, Palestine area, Elkhart, Texas. I mean, this kid has just come in, and he had one good game last year against UTSA, but then this year he's just really blown up.
You know, the interesting thing about him was they thought that they had a steal with him right away when they signed him. Tommy Perry, who's about as wired in as in East Texas as you're going to find as far as a recruiter. You know, he went to A&M. He's the grandson of John David Crow. I mean, he knows everybody out there. And they really thought when they signed this guy that they had something special. You know, that he had just this dynamic ability, and, you know, it's kind of proved to be the case. His first year there, he was injured early in the year and didn't really get much of a chance until the end of the year, and then had a really good last game of the season. And then this year, he busted his hand right at the beginning of the year, so he kind of had to wait. And then once they got him in there and got him going, you know, he's really come on.
Yeah, 2,300 yards and 26 touchdowns as a high school senior. So definitely was a player coming out of high school. I would say they did get a steal.
And how do they use DeMarcus Smith? Is it more on a zone read? Is it a triple option look? I'm pretty sure it's not that. Is it mostly the zone read?
Yeah, that's what they're really hanging their hat on. I mean, they've gotten into that zone read game a ton, and you know, they're gonna they're going to run it, and they're going to keep running it and keep running it until you stop. And that's where they made the big play last week to help get them the win over UTSA. You know, DeMarcus pulled it, and he ended up going 54 yards down to the one, and then he dove in for the touchdown on the next play. It was really kind of a wild into a pretty good game against UTSA. But that's what they're going to do. And, you know, they're going to hope that they can run that zone read and then maybe have DeMarcus pull it out of there and throw it down the field and do some different things like that. So that whole zone read action, I think, is going to be a real vital part of North Texas's game plan. It'll be interesting to see how Louisiana Tech goes about defending it. You know, North Texas is real concerned with the way Louisiana Tech is going to blitz them and try to pressure them, you know, in the running game.
You look at North Texas on the defensive side with Kenneth Dixon, with Jeff Driscoll, and all the receivers that Tech has to bring to the table this year. How do you see that matchup for the Mean Green?
Well, you know, that's going to be an interesting point because North Texas, a couple of weeks ago, they really changed things up. You know, they had a couple of veteran cornerbacks, but two of their best recruits were Ashton Preston and Nate Brooks. And Nate Brooks is an East Texas kid that was also offered by Louisiana Tech. It was like a one-on-one, you know, does he go to Louisiana Tech or does he go down to North Texas? He ended up going to North Texas for, you know, maybe he just thought it was a better fit. I'm not sure exactly what his reason was. I'd have to go back and look at the story I wrote at the time. But, you know, those guys got elevated to the starting lineup. And they think that these two guys are the future. Now, they went back and pulled Ashton Preston from the starting lineup because he was struggling with the deep ball a little bit. But we'll see him, and we'll definitely see the other freshmen. And what will be interesting to see is how they match up against Louisiana Tech in terms of those great receivers and the great throwing game that they have.
Well, you know how we always do it. Give us a prediction for Saturday's game. 30 points, as you said, I think it's down to 29, is a lot of points to cover. Tell us how you see it shaping out.
You know, I don't see North Texas winning this game, but I don't see them losing by 30 either. I just think this is a different team. I think Dan McCartney's a terrific coach. He did a lot of terrific things at North Texas, but for whatever reason, and I think you have to credit Mike Canales a lot, and he's one of those guys I look at and I'm like, how is this guy never gotten a chance to be a head coach? I've, you know, covered college football for, you know, decades, and I look at some of the jokers I've seen been given a chance to run college football programs, and I'm looking at, and this guy hasn't, you know, Mike Canales. But bottom line is I think he's going to have them playing really well. I don't think they've got enough to beat Louisiana Tech, especially on the road, but I think, you know, they'll be able to more than cover. I think, you know, you end up having a 35-17 or 35-20 game or something along those lines.
Well, you talk about Mike Canales and how he hasn't gotten his fair shake at leading a team. Will he get a shot at this job now that McCartney is gone?
I don't think so. I mean, unless something really dramatic changes, I think that the leadership at North Texas wants to, you know, go with kind of a clean slate and kind of go with a, you know, more of a high-profile hire. And, you know, even Coach Canales has openly talked about, you know, how this is kind of his last little bit of a run here at North Texas. And it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I don't think he's back at North Texas next year. I mean, it's been 6 years he's been in Denton and as the offensive coordinator, and I think somewhere he lands somewhere else as an assistant coach and, you know, maybe looks to hopefully get his opportunity somewhere else, but I don't think he'll end up being the head coach here. I think you'll probably see somebody else from, you know, a Power 5 conference school or maybe a guy that's been a head coach at a smaller place.
With it being in the middle of the season, have any names started surfacing around that search, or is it too early and they're waiting till after the season?
Oh, yeah, we're hearing all kinds. I mean, the speculation starts like that in college football. I mean, you know, once there's a coaching change, you know, your bosses go, okay, we've got to get the the suspects list together, and then you start sorting through the suspects list, and, you know, then some guys start saying, well, you know, I don't think I'm interested in that job. So you scratch them off the suspect list, and then there's a new guy that comes up, and, you know, it's just a wild goose chase, which is, you know, part of the deal. But, you know, yeah, there's been some, you know, usual suspects' names, and there's been some guys, some people that agents and people that have reached out to me and said, you know, hey, I'm kind of interested, intrigued by it, and, you know, we'll just have to see where it goes from here.
Who's a dark horse that you could see possibly getting that job?
Well, you know, the hot name is, you know, Norvell over at Arizona State. You know, he's won. The other Norvell at Texas was a name that came up. Everett Withers, the head coach of James Madison, his name came up. You know, but I don't think we're to the point right now where you can look at it and say, well, you know, this is a guy that's definitely going to interview, or this is a guy that's definitely in the mix. I still think we're in the hole. You know, everybody's, you know, winking and flirting at each other and trying to figure out what they want to do.
Well, I don't envy this long of a coaching search on you, my friend. That will be a brutal process that will not end anytime soon. Good luck with that, and thanks for talking with us today on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, guys. Have you guys have a good day.
You too. Brett Vito from the Denton Record Chronicle joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason, can you imagine a coaching search that lasts that long covering it?
Oh, man, I would be, you know me, I'd be printing out every, you know, possible candidate and going through them.
So you like them more than I do.
Oh, I like it, but it would be mind-numbing to go through that many names, especially with North Texas, because they're, you know, with so many connections to Dallas and in that area, there's so many coaches that could do well there. And
There's no reason why that job shouldn't be a good job.
Well, just like Central Florida, South Florida, I mean, for some reason, some of these big city schools in the middle of these hotbed recruiting areas, for some reason, they're just not getting it done.
We'll be back right after this. This segment brought to you by National Jewelry in Ruston. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I feel like John was leaving me hanging in that one after I left him hanging. The man with the buttons and the sliders is in control. Don't you ever forget it. Bleed Tech Blue is brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston, 255-7698. Give us a call on the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline, or send us a text on the text line, 888-993-7762. Your thoughts on Louisiana Tech football thus far, a little basketball talk if you want, a little recruiting talk, all of the above is coming up here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason, of course, we, like always, we give BleedTechBlue.com subscribers an opportunity to get some questions in.
Yeah, and some of the questions this week were really good. One of them was, you know, what true freshmen are we going to see playing on defense, especially defensive back? You know, last week we saw Theron Williams, Trey Spencer, and Aaron Robertson playing back there in the backfield. And what's kind of weird, at the beginning of the season, who were you looking at? Ephraim Kitchen was a true freshman, and then you had a couple of second year guys, both from the Shreveport area. And now my
Roland Dunn.
Yeah, Roland Dunn, and then also the walk-on,
Kirkland McCullough.
So
I got your back, dog.
Thank you. I'm picturing Kirkland McCullough standing on the bench at Kansas State waving the towel, and I just could not come up with his name. And so
Kitchen had an injury that sidelined him. Be interesting to see if he can get a medical red shirt for this season.
But see, the other two guys, they were the only two guys that you really had as backups going into the season.
And they got passed up.
And so these true freshmen are coming in, and now that they've been here a while, Robertson and Spencer, they're getting a chance. And then at safety, you've got Theron Williams playing because your other backup is a sophomore, Cedric Cooper. And so they're getting the chances now. You look at the other two positions, linebacker and defensive line, got a couple of injuries. Michael Mims is out, and now we hear that Edarga is out at defensive end. So you're going to see at defensive end getting a chance, Emmanuel Turner from Magnolia, Arkansas.
He's got him a sack already this year.
Yeah, he's gotten a little bit of playing time. He's going to get more. And now at linebacker, you know, you might see Derman getting his first start this week. Or if he doesn't start, you know, and they go with
– they move feet over to middle linebacker and maybe slide C.J. Cleveland to Will and
– or Russell Ferris could start in the middle.
That's true.
You know, and Derman could just stay as the backup. But you know he's going to get more playing time. And we'll see if another linebacker gets thrown into that second team. Somebody's got to step up, and so it could very well be a freshman. And then we've seen other true freshmen playing last week, Courtney Wallace, Jordan Bradford up front. So these guys are going to be in the two deep next year playing a lot. They're going to be counted on, so it's good that they're getting in the game, and I hope to see them get a lot of playing time against North Texas at home, you know, this Saturday.
We got some about the decommitments. We can go ahead and talk a little recruiting at this point. Keandre Thomas, Fort Smith Northside High School in Arkansas. Not a shocker of a decommitment. We had him listed as a soft verbal, really from the word go. He was a little wishy-washy on where he wanted to be. I still expect Tech to get an official visit before signing day, so which means Tech's still in the mix for him.
Yeah, and just like I said last week with the Dutchtown kid, you know, who's looking at Kansas State and Minnesota.
Lloyd Cushionberry or Cushion?
No, he's the lineman. This is a DB. Oh, okay. And I'm about to pull up my list. I just can't keep all these names straight like I used to. I'm not young anymore. But
Old Man River.
Kansas State, Minnesota, you know, these are far from home. Now, Minnesota to Fort Smith, really far. Kansas State down to Dutchtown, Geismar, Louisiana, really far. Those are far distances. They're away from home. And both of them are going to have coaching changes. The Minnesota coach just retired, and we're looking at Kansas State coach who's like 76, possibly retiring this year. Those assistants
in South Carolina for Lloyd, the offensive lineman that's committed from Dutchtown to South Carolina. Anything can happen.
South Carolina's got two commitments from Louisiana, and so it'll be interesting to see with your coach retiring, the likelihood of that assistant that's recruiting you actually being at that school next year, slim to none.
You look at – somebody said, is wide receiver still a critical position to recruit? If so, who? And then also, has offensive tackle surpassed wide receiver as biggest need with the decommitment of Alfred Beverly?
I don't see it as passing it. You still got to have a couple of receivers, and you need a big target. But
I think they're going to go JUCO probably or look for a transfer at left tackle. I really do.
Yeah, and
because they behind – or even at right tackle, because behind Darryl Brown next year, what do you have?
Well, and that's what we talked about last week. You've got six juniors right now that are on the two deep. So next year, you've got all these seniors, and your only other guys on the two deep are Dugas, McCready, Carpenter. That's it.
And lots of freshmen.
So all these guys that they're recruiting now are going to be the second string in 2 years, and so you've got to get some young guys in there. But you're right, you've got to get a couple of transfers in there just to bridge the gap.
And wide receiver wise, no names are coming to mind. Do any come to mind for you?
I mean, the main one that they've got to get in is Gerard, you know, from
Gerard Sanders
from Dallas. So you've got to get him in. That's the main one. There's a couple of, you know, Zachary Coleman, or not, I keep getting his name wrong. He's from Zachary.
And you know what?
Douglas Coleman.
I probably need to reach out to Sanders and see with his dad being a Tech alum and this being homecoming, and I've been told that Tech is pushing a lot of recruits to this weekend. I bet this may be one of his official visit weekend.
Well, and you'll get the list of the visitors, and this is going to be where, you know, next week's show we'll be able to tell you more about who they're looking at. There has been a couple of more. I would say the third biggest need in this class, Coach Holtz likes to call them the mids. I would say a tight end / fullback, kind of middle sized guy.
Well, I think we're forgetting about the Holly kid from Farmville that's on the roster redshirting right now.
Yeah, I mean, so he's one.
Bobby Holly.
He's possibly a fullback / tight end, kind of like in the Ricky Jones mold, but you don't really have any tight end.
I think he starts next year.
Yeah.
That's how good Bobby Holly has the potential of being.
Yeah, I could see.
And he'll have a scholarship very quickly.
I could see, you know, some different tight ends being looked at. There's a new tight end offered down at Lafayette. I'm trying to find his name. And then you've got a couple other new offers that are very interesting, I think, that you know, could be good players that Tech really needs. You know, another cornerback, we mentioned Keandre decommitting. There's a new offer out to a cornerback from the Dallas area. And then let's see right here. Legarius Sneeds, the receiver from Minden. Zach Cooser, the Oxford, Mississippi tight end. I think those are possibilities.
Sneed can play, man. Yeah. Gosh, that kid can play. He hadn't played any defense this year. I don't know what Tech likes him at, whether they like him as a defensive back or a receiver, but, man, can he play. I mean, he and David Beasley from Pine Bluff are very similar players. David Beasley's been playing a lot of offense this year, just like Legarius Sneed.
Yeah.
Did you find your cornerback there?
No. Not on top of my game tonight. But Douglas Coleman's the receiver from Zachary. From Acadiana, Javonis Isaac, 6'3 tight end. Lontrell Miller, I love this kid. Linebacker from Tulsa Edison, 6'1", 215, has like a 36-inch vertical. Tech recently offered him. We've talked about, two linebackers from Louisiana, Nehemiah Augustus, Nathaniel Evans from John Curtis. You know, will they keep hanging around? Will they fall through the cracks?
It's kind of surprising. Neither one of those guys have made a commitment yet.
And then here's the cornerback from Dallas, Plano West, 6'1", corner, Aide Kilpatrick. That's a name to watch with Thomas decommitting. So, some new guys in there. I would say, though, definitely watch out for the commitments to the schools where the coaches are retiring, especially, you know, you mentioned South Carolina with Loy Cushenberry. Also, Trey Jackson from University Lab, 5'10" cornerback, was committed to South Carolina. Had offers from all over the country, Houston, Kansas State, Louisiana Tech, ULL, Mississippi State, North Carolina, Oklahoma. But, you know, will he want to stay closer to home? Will all these other schools fill up? But by the time he decides, hey, wait a minute, my coaches aren't going to be there, I want to go somewhere else. Because usually about December, when they're making these official visits, those other coaches are recruiting with no boss, and nobody knows if they're coming back or not. And that's when those recruits start getting cold feet.
There's no doubt about it. Let's take the break. Other side of the break, we'll be talking to Jamie Eagles about a little bit of Louisiana Tech basketball. Jamie, of course, the son of the late, great Tommy Joe Eagles, the great coach at Louisiana Tech. And we'll be back right after this. This segment brought to you by Pierce Service Company, Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, here on Bleed Tech Blue.
Price for a five-star dealer.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jason Jones, recruiting analyst, analyst extraordinaire for BleedTechBlue.com, joining me like he does every week. Let's go to the Fairway Carts of Minden hotline to my friend Jamie Eagles. Jamie, before I get to you, I forgot to mention a title sponsor, which is very important. We are brought to you by each and every week Trenton Interiors in downtown Ruston, 255-7698 for all your interior needs. Jamie, you know basketball better than anybody else I know. First off, let's start off with, I know you watched the scrimmage for Louisiana Tech a couple of weeks ago before the Middle Tennessee football game. What did you think?
Hey, guys. Well, first of all, I think I was really impressed with a couple of the freshmen. I mean, obviously, Alex and Eric can really play, and we know that. But, watching Derek Jean out there, we're going to have a hard time keeping him off the floor. He really made a lot of plays, and he doesn't, you know, play like a freshman. And I think, you know, by the middle of the season, he's really going to have a significant role on our team. I also like the 6'8 freshman from Smyrna, Tennessee, Washington. I think he's got a chance. He's pretty thin, and you know, he's going to get beat around a little bit this year, but he's got a chance to be a really good player. And I think from a aspect of talent, you know, we've got it. We've got to get a couple of these young kids, you know, ready to go, and I know Eric will do that.
And you look at, there's a couple of injuries right now. Janiah White sidelined with an internal injury that I'm not exactly positive what's going on, and I know you don't either. But Merrill Holden is sidelined with a broken thumb, out for 6 to 8 weeks, we've heard. That puts a hole at the five position. Where do you see the Bulldogs going with that hole?
Well, you know, obviously we need to get Merrill back healthy as quick as we can. Really, you know, watching Eric McCree play, and really what they played him a little bit back at Murray, he can play that hybrid four for us. So, I mean, he's big enough where he can play, you know, inside out. He's great on the perimeter, but he's strong enough at, you know, 225 or what have you to bang down there. You know, a couple things. We can go, you know, small and play, you know, Kedar Davis and you know, Jacoby Boykins. And I say small tongue-in-cheek. I mean, these guys are 6'6". But we can play, you know, those guys across with Alex and put Eric down low. Or, you know, the other thing is, depending on the development of Brandon Shepard, he's another big kid that's real raw, but pretty athletic, and we can go that way also. So we've got some options, but hopefully Merrill will heal quickly and get back on the floor for us.
Jamie, this is a little bit of an out-of-the-box question. We didn't discuss this a little while ago, but I just came up with it. If you can put into words, you've been around Tech basketball for, what, 30 years?
About 40. Yeah, long time.
I was giving you some credit. You should have said yes, 30.
Yes, 30.
how far did Mike White bring Louisiana Tech basketball? And you talk about the ability of Eric Conkle and his offensive coaching ability.
Well, obviously, you know, Mike was fantastic, and, you know, great guy, good friend, and wish him all the best. He did some great things for our program. Obviously, you don't win, you know, over 100 games in 4 years and win 3 straight conference titles and not missing. But at the same time, as I've gotten to know, you know, Coach Conkle, he's got a lot of ability and a lot of he's a great teacher on the floor, just watching some practice, and he communicates well with his guys, and you know, I mean, he seems to relate, you know, pretty well, especially with these guards. And you know, I saw him working with Derek Jean quite a bit, and he's really going to be a good player. And you know, with some of the guys we've got coming, assuming that they sign in the next few weeks, our future is really bright. And you know, we're the team now where you judge a basketball team success and wins and losses, but you also judge it in scheduling. And I know that's been a sore subject when you've got, you know, pretty much the country not wanting to play you because you're that good. That tells you right there, you know, the status of your program.
Well, and Jamie, I had a question about that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but
no, that's fine.
You're talking about the scheduling. I mean, It's unbelievable that you can see so many. I'm looking at the beginning of the season. I'm seeing the location tack. I mean, do you remember at any time Tech getting so many home games in the beginning of the season in these non-conference games? And do you ever remember Tech actually going out and buying opponents to have just home only?
Not in the common day. I mean, I can remember, you know, growing up, when it was a little bit more regionalized, and we would have some games here, you know, early. But when I was there, I mean, we were to Indiana and in these tournaments all over BYU and Wyoming and all over the place.
And then
we played a lot of guarantee games, and then we'd come in and we might play one or two before the break, and then we'd come back and maybe play a couple more and then start conference. But nothing like this. I mean, it's there's a lot of home games, and our schedule, you know, obviously looking at Ohio State, that's going to be tough. But, you know, our schedule sets up pretty nice, and especially with Merrill out early, it sets up okay for us, and hopefully have him back, you know, for the conference run.
And, Jamie, you were talking about the guards and how good Conkle's been with those guys. You got a senior transfer from Alcorn State and LaAntoine Luckett, which was highly recruited out of high school, and then you look at another one from Navarro College, Deshaun Robinson. During the scrimmage, Deshaun Robinson exhibited some ability to knock down an open three, which Tech missed at times last year.
Yeah, you know, he shot a lot of deep corner threes in the scrimmage. It kind of reminded me a little bit of our guy from a few years ago from Little Rock.
Keon McNeil.
Yeah, Keon McNeil. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Keon McNeil. He's a little bit bigger than Keon, but he shot that corner three pretty well in that scrimmage. And you know, there's one thing for sure: if you can shoot the basketball, coach will find a place to play you. So, yeah, I remember LaAntoine coming out of high school. You're talking about a top 100, 150 kid. He had some, you know, issues coming out with clearinghouse and all that got resolved. He goes to Alcorn State, and we get him back as a transfer, fifth-year guy. But you know, incredibly talented. And, again, he's a guy that can play, and he will get some meaningful playing time for us, I'm sure.
Well, Jamie, this won't be the last time you join us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. You'll be coming whenever basketball kicks off big time and football's over, coming to join us in the studio. We look forward to it. We appreciate him. We appreciate you, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Really enjoyed it. And let's go get the let's go beat the Mean Green this week.
There you go, Jamie Eagles joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. A wealth of basketball knowledge. We'll talk to him a lot more as basketball gets underway. Jason, I couldn't think of a better source of college basketball information than Jamie Eagles.
Oh, yeah, that was perfect. And we'll look forward to talking to him a lot more in the future.
Jamie coached a little bit at McNeese. He obviously learned a lot from his dad. So he'll be a big asset to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Definitely. And talking about the schedule and when Merrill Holden might come back, the regular season starts 2 weeks from today, I believe. And then he's 6 to 8 weeks out. So you're looking at mid-December, there's a game at Ole Miss on the 15th. Then you got that 22nd at Florida Gulf Coast. I'd love to have him back for that game. Then the conference starts January 2nd, so surely he'd be back by then.
Missing him for ULL would stink because, yes, the kid from Morgan City, the transfer from Mississippi State, is still –
he's still
playing
there
for the Cajuns.
He's still there. And Jamie was talking about the guard play at Tech. You've got six players between 6'4 and 6'6. And so it's a lot like the Atlanta Hawks of a couple years ago where they had all these 6'6, 6'7, 6'8 guys playing all over the court. You're going to see a lot of tall guards like Alex Hamilton, like Luckett. Robinson at 6'4, 215 is a stronger kid. Hit 44% three-point shooter last year in junior college. I can see him playing a lot of three. Boykins at 6'6". He's only 170 pounds. I can see him playing a lot of three.
And until Holden is back, I could see Kedar Davis playing the five.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be playing.
He's a good rebounder. He blocks down pretty well.
He's 6'6", 210. You'll see him playing a lot with McCree, who's 6'8", 222. You know, one of them's the four, one of them's the five. It doesn't really matter. They're going to be the two inside guys, probably starting, and then backing them up. You're probably going to see the two younger guys. He mentioned Brandon Shepard, 6'8", 220. He's a kid in this kind of lineup. You're playing four guards. All you need him to do is be a body, get some rebounds.
And bang.
Bang a little bit, get a couple fouls. They're not going to ask him to play a ton of minutes, but if he could, especially with Holden out, if he could play 15 to 18 minutes, that would be huge. And then he mentioned Washington at 6'8", 185. You can imagine with Holden being out, he's going to play a lot of, like I think you said last week, stretch four. He'll be in there backing up, probably McCree. And
he looks a lot like Mike Kaiser as a true freshman.
Yeah.
And dare I say, Washington is more athletic than Mike Kaiser. I know that it's hard to grasp, but he very well may be. That guy can jump out of the gym.
And, heck, you might even see some three-guard, four-guard lineups where at 215 pounds, if they're not playing a huge team, you might see 6'4", 215 DeSean Robinson playing power forward. You might have to, at least in the non-conference.
And you just spread the floor
and just shoot 3-pointers, him and Boykin. So, I mean, who knows? They got a lot of versatility, but with all those 6'4" to 6'6" guys, that bodes well. And then Derek Jean at 6'2" is no slouch. He's very athletic.
You know, they have one spot left for 2016. You got to think they go after a big now. Well, I know that normally bigs are taken already by after the early signing period, but you got to think with the question marks around the your bigs, will they go get a big? And I almost think you have to.
Well, you know, if there's one out there,
they're hard to find. I mean, let's just say that.
Adrian Johnson from the Dallas area, AJ Johnson as he goes by, is one that visited a couple weeks ago. He's 6'8". That's the one I'm kind of keeping my eye on. Will, you know, he's down to like his top three is like Tech and then maybe A&M, Corpus Christi, a school like that. Maybe North Texas. I can't remember.
Wasn't Tulsa in that list?
Tulsa was in his top five, I believe. I don't know if he's trimmed it down from there. But that's the kid I'm looking at. But, you know, they've got another issue is with these guys that are graduating, Luckett, Hamilton, and Kedar. You're going to have very little experience at guard moving forward. You've got guys coming in 6'5", 6'6", 6'8". They could very well pick a guard up. So, I mean, the good thing is they've got so much versatility.
Well, one of those guys is a guard. The 6'5 guy is a guard.
Yeah, he is a guard. But when you're coming back, you've got him, you've got Derek Jean, you've got Deion Griffin, and you've got Jacoby Boykins. That's it. Four guards on the roster that are under, you know, younger guys. So, could use a guard too, but that gives them the ability to take the best player available.
This segment brought to you by Brennan Dodge and Dairy Queen, coming soon to Ruston. Right after this, we will have friend of the program and weekly caller on the Fairway Carts of Bennett Hotline, Rafe, giving us his thoughts on Tech football. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. On ESPN Radio 97.7, brought to you by Trenton Interiors of Ruston. Rafe joining us on the Fairway Carts of Minden Hotline. But first, we gotta tease our ticket giveaway that we failed to do until now.
Jason's gonna come up with a question.
He's gonna butt in the middle of Rafe's weekly segment because we've got to get these things given away so we can get two more fannies in the seat Saturday inside the Joe. Rafe, what's going on, my man?
Oh, not much. I need those tickets.
Well, hey, there we are. We'll give them to you. I'm serious.
Yeah, I really do need them.
We'll give him a tough question, but he can answer.
Well, I'm not gonna look. You know, I don't have any computer access, so you know, if I get it right, then I earned it.
Yes.
You know, I'm just walking around. I don't have anything to look at. With basketball, I think we're in trouble with the two players that we lost, with White and Holden going out, because there's just not a lot of fouls to give at the five. I mean, we talk about Kedar playing the inside, but I don't know, man. I think it's I'm a little bit irritated that I don't care if Leo didn't look like he was going to mount to much, but we could use him right now. I know that. And, you know, especially with White out and Holden hurting his thumb, can he play with a cast? Do they let him do that?
I mean, potentially, but it's not football. You got to use both hands of basketball.
I don't care. Just use. I mean, I'm talking like I need fouls, bodies. Somebody long enough.
Go hack a Shaq.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, we'll see how it works out. I know that we have some movable parts. I think that B's going to have to play. Shepard's going to have to play, and I don't know if he's ready or not, but we're going to find out. But he's going to, just because his size and girth is necessary, we don't have it anywhere else. And so I hate to put all that on McCree. I mean, I know he's big enough, but
I think it's going to be a little bit of baptism by fire for your boy Brandon Shepard too.
No kidding. I mean, we'll see. He says he's ready. I texted with him the other night. He says he's ready. He's game time ready, but we'll see. Anyway, yeah, man, what about football? It looks like we're getting better and better week by week. And, you know, the ceiling is higher with this team. And really, part of that is I think that, and nothing against Cody, but I think Cody hit his ceiling by this time last year and, you know, kind of bounced off of it and went back down to earth a little bit. But Driscoll has got helium in his veins. This guy can, looks like there's no telling how high and how good he can be, especially if you give him the full arsenal of weapons at his dispense. Man, you talk about a capable, competent, excellent football player in Driscoll.
What do you make, Rafe, of, I wouldn't call it a resurgence, I will call it a surge, from North Texas the last 2 weeks with the interim head coach at the helm?
Well, it's all relative. Yeah, they went from...
That's why I said a surge, not a resurgence, because they've been down for so long.
Good for them. I hate losing, and I hate losing when you see no hope or glimmer of hope for the future. But they've gotten a little bit of that, and it's always exciting to get a young, you know, fireplug quarterback to run around and make plays. But they're not going to be able to play with us. They're just simply not good enough, and that's okay. I hope that we, you know, play, like they say, a faceless opponent and really measure ourselves by ourselves, but I don't think it matters much coming into Ruston this Saturday.
Do you agree with me when I say this? 29 is a really hard line to cover, and it may be the stone-cold lead pipe lock of the century North Texas covers.
You know, I think they're going to cover, just because I think Coach Hulse will call the dogs off him. He'll be playing a lot of freshmen in the fourth quarter, and they might score late to make it closer than that. But, Rafe, I got a trivia question for you. It's going to be a tough
one. Good.
Throw him a softball.
October 22nd, 2005, North Texas came to Ruston. Tech won 40-14. The two running backs in the game had the same first name. Patrick Cobbs for UNT had 108 yards rushing. What running back for Louisiana Tech had two touchdowns rushing?
He's from New Orleans. What is that dude's name? Good night, Patrick.
Patrick.
The capital of Mississippi.
That's it.
Jackson.
There it is.
Man, I need those tickets. I really do. To all those millions of fans that were trying to call in and get these tickets, I've got a family that really could use them. I've got season tickets. I've got plenty. They're not for me, but I will give them away to people that will be at the game, in the seats, enjoying themselves.
With rain gear.
It's not going to rain. You know, it may drizzle. It's not going to rain on us. They say that all the time. And it's even that the game against Middle Tennessee.
It was not that bad.
I barely got wet.
It didn't rain in the second quarter.
No.
It rained in the first, a little bit in the third. And then I was like, eh, it takes one, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I kind of left too. But anyway, we stayed in the parking lot for a minute. But I barbecued in that stuff. It was not raining hard. I had a charcoal grill lit in that, so it was not real rain.
Well, let's hear your prediction.
We will cover the spread plus some. We're going to score. We're going to score 50 points, and they're going to score like 10. They're going to have trouble scoring at all. I realize that we're going to miss Nick in the middle, but there's just too much coming at them. They're going to go back to Denton unhappy and having no hope.
Appreciate you joining us, my friend.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you for the
time. Hold the line. John's got you.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and give my prediction. I'm going to say that North Texas covers, but I'm going to go –
It's back up to 29.5, by the way, on the Venetian.
Oh, there you go.
Over-under of 62.
Okay, I'm gonna go under that, too. Tech, 10 years ago, won 40-14. I say they won up them 41-14.
I'm thinking 42-20 backdoor cover by the Mean Green.
That'll work.
42-20.
I mean, you're saying a 22-point win. I'm saying 26.
It's not going to be in doubt. It's going to be one of those games that's never in doubt.
Yeah. It's not. And their strength is rushing the ball. We didn't go over the stats a whole lot, but we did talk to Brett a little bit about it. They're number 62 in the country in rush offense, but everything else is in the triple digits.
I mean, so bad.
They're good in fourth down defense, at number 11 in the country. So you don't want to get to fourth down on them. But other than that, I mean, they're good at punting, which they have a lot of experience in that, and they're not bad in penalties. So
hey, look at their time of possession, which is surprising for a team that runs the ball pretty well.
It's awful. Apparently, they get runned on all the time. Rush defense number 120 in the country, 251 yards a game. Tech's going to run all over them. They're going to pass all over them. Their total defense is 123. They give up over 500 yards a game.
John, what's your prediction? I said 42-20. Jason said 42-14.
41-14.
I think I'm more with Rafe. I'm looking at something like 59-17. I think Tech runs them off the field.
Awesome. We neither one of us will argue it. I'm looking back at the Western Kentucky game for North Texas. Care to guess how many yards Western Kentucky rushed for? 283, 400 yards passing, total offense of 683. That's brutality incarnated on a football field. Absolutely insane. When I saw the line come out at 30, and then it went down to 29, and it just held steady, and now it's at 29.5, that's just so many points to cover. And you're still beating the doors off of somebody by beating them by 21.
You beat them by four touchdowns, and you're still not at 29.5. I mean, it's just Tech could go beat them by 40. They really could. But I just don't think if it's wet, if Coach has got some injuries and he's wanting to play some freshmen, I don't see it. But, yeah, Tech's coming in number 22 in total offense, 478 yards, and number 9 in rush defense, one of only 9 teams that gives up under 100 yards rushing, 99.7. North Texas will not run the ball on Tech. They can't pass it.
They'll get over 100 yards.
Because they're going to –
because that's all they're going to do.
They're going to rush 40 times to get those 100 yards. And it's
– you look at the other –
not going to be pretty.
You get look at the other numbers at Tech's in the top 20 – top – let's call it the top 50. Total offense, 22nd. Passing offense, 16th. Team pass efficiency, 27th. Scoring offense, 18th. Total defense, 50th. Rush defense, 9th. Turnover margin, 49th. Fourth down conversion percentage, 18th.
Hey, that's the matchup of the game right there. Fourth down offense versus their awesome fourth down defense.
It's true. Punt returns, 49th. First down offense, number 11. Fewest penalties per game, 32nd. Fewest penalty yards per game, 32nd. And time of possession, 42nd.
Yeah, so time of possession and penalties and turnovers, Tech is way better than North Texas in. And that's just all part of being a good team. But North Texas is not. And I think it's going to be at least 20-point win. It could be 40. Who knows?
For Jason Jones, John Tabor, I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Been another Bleed Tech Blue Radio for you. We'll be back same time, same place next week. We'll see you then.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Trenton Interiors, every Tuesday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Jonathan Ford. Our show is also brought to you by your 26 area local State Farm agents, Brister's Smokehouse, National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, and Gary Stokely, Keller Williams Realty, as well as your hotline sponsor, Fairway Cards. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN 97.7.